The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 9 minutes after 8, Captain Bill will join me here in a few minutes. And hello, caller. You have a Datsun pickup truck. We were talking about Ford Couriers with Eric Peters a little more than an hour ago. Tell us about your Datsun pickup.
Oh, it just ran. I don't know how my husband drove it, but he drove it, about 2,000 miles every summer, and it just kept running.
Kept going, huh? Now, was it one of those early 70s ones, like the Ford Courier that the other listener was talking about?
Yeah, two-seater.
Yeah.
Datsun.
And you had a cab on the back, too?
Yeah, a step-up, a cab where you walk in there. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very, there wasn't that much to it, It's just, for sleeping and eating and an ice box.
Yeah. I often thought that if they were to come back with those kind of trucks again, sort of the size of what used to be, the Ford Ranger, not the latest iteration of the Ford Ranger, which is much larger, but the older Ford Rangers, those smaller Ford Rangers, those little Datsun trucks that you were talking about, maybe something larger than the Volkswagen pickup back at the time. That was almost too small, I think, for most people. I think there'd be a market for those, don't you?
Well, yeah, but it just was, I don't know how my husband drove it, because I tried driving it for a half hour and my arms were about ready to fall off.
Oh, no power steering, huh?
No power steering.
Oh, you ought to drive that Vanagon diesel of mine sometime. No power steering on that either. But yeah, it has Armstrong steering, so you just got to make sure that your arms stay strong, okay? All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Captain Bill Simpson will join me here in a couple of minutes after the Kim Komando update, and we're going to find out just how clean and pure and wonderfully unpolluted that the Klamath is running now. I'm sure that after a few months of having blown the dams out and flushed it down, that it's all gone. I'm sure it's all gone. Yeah, he'll tell us.
We're thrilled to announce we're back with our Veterans Metal Roof Giveaway.
At NetSuite.com/Kim. NetSuite.com/.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Captain William E. Simpson back on the program here. Ethologist, Wild Horse Fire Brigade. And, of course, just an interesting fellow that we always like to talk about. Not just wild horses, but the dam removals and the amazing fish restoration that we're seeing going on right now at the Klamath Dam removal site. So, Bill, give us the great news about how clear the river is running and how the clay's all gone. It's just flushed out to the ocean, and the magic fish will be making a return, any day now. Really. What do you think?
Yeah. Good morning, Bill. Yeah, it's really unfortunate the way they're spinning this. It's so bad down at the river. A couple days ago, Mel Fletcher, who lives down there by Happy Camp, took some pictures, and we put them up at siskiyou.news. There's an article there, about dam removal done cheap is fast and profitable. And
I'm looking at these pictures on the siskiyou.news site, and this water. It looks like chocolate ice cream that's melted is what it looks like. Would that be a fair assessment of what it looks like?
It looks like rust-colored paint. It's very viscous.
Oh, yeah.
And that picture, by the way, is 100 miles downriver. That's at Happy Camp.
This is at Happy Camp? You've got to be kidding me. 100 miles down away from where? Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I can't. Yeah. I thought this was up by Iron Gate. I figured if it looks as dark. Okay.
No, there's a caption there. Mel wrote about what he was seeing, and the deer down there at Happy Camp won't even drink the water. They go up and sniff it, and then they walk away and go look for water elsewhere. We're seeing that up here as well, closer to the actual remains of the dam.
Now, we already talked about the other day how they had to shut down that rest area on Interstate 5 by the Klamath because the clay and everything, it's all the muck has just gummed everything up, right?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about the Collier rest area.
Collier.
Collier serves over a million motorists a year. It's Caltrans's star attraction on I-5.
Is this the biggest lie that's being foisted upon us here in Southern Oregon and Northern California? You know, this restoration job here. This has to be one of the biggest lies that's out there in the open, and there's so little reporting on it. I really don't understand this.
Well, they hired a professional media company to do PR. KRRC has a professional, I think it's a CEC or something like that. It's three letters. It's posted up at Siskiyou.news. But, they hired a professional media company to run interference and buy coverage by Google keywords. They're out there working hard, and they even talk about it. You look at their clients, they represent greenwashing companies and stuff like that who want to keep their reputation in a way so that they can keep getting donations, you know, because these are all nonprofits, just like KRRC. They're a nonprofit. The Sustainable Northwest, these people having this little gathering to celebrate the return of the salmon, you know. Well, return of what salmon?
I think the only salmon that's returning to the Klamath right now is probably going to be from a bag that they buy at Costco, frozen, flash frozen, I think. I think that's about it. All right?
Well, the animals are up here, but all the way down to at least to a happy camp that we know of are not very interested in drinking that water. And that's a problem because at this time of the year, the creeks and the springs are dried up.
Now, is this happening with your wild horse herds up by the Iron Gate area?
Well, everything. The cattle, the horses, none of the livestock want to touch it. The dogs, the birds won't drink it. The geese and all the birds, everything, nobody will touch it. There's nothing living in this river. It is literally the river of death.
This is a dead river, and... Now, wouldn't the Environmental Protection Agency want to take a look at this? Isn't this what, you know, they exist to fix these kind of problems?
Well, it's kind of like that saying, you know, we're from the government, we're here to help you. It may be that they should change that mantra, we're here to kill you. The EPA is not doing their job. And I think it's because they're under pressure from Gavin Newsom to... You know, this is his pet project. You know, he paddled down the river with some Native Americans. So now, you know, he's an honorary Native American, I guess, or something. So he's totally involved in this cover-up. I had a journalist up here that used to write for Forbes, and he drove up from Berkeley.
Is that the guy that was, like, dressed weird with his sneakers with the orange sneakers, I think, something like that, you were telling me?
Well, I don't think for Berkeley, I think he was dressed perfect. You know, he had red tennis shoes with yellow shoelaces.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But he's old guard. He's a real journalist.
Oh, I mean, old school journalist. Okay, so he's actually trying to report truth. What a concept.
He's in his 60s, and first of all, we went to the Iron Gate boat ramp, and he smelled it, and he goes, oh, my goodness, it smells like raw sewage. And I go, yeah, it stinks to high heavens. And then he's looking at it, and he goes, wow. He says, this is just unbelievable. It looks like orange paint. And it has the viscosity. It's very high. The viscosity is very unusual. And there's so much clay. See, and clay, people need to understand. They need to stop saying the river has silt. It's not silt. Silt is just one particulate in the composite of sediment. And sediment is made up of clay, which is microscopic. It can go everywhere. And then you have the next largest particulate is silt, then sand, then gravel.
And what we're looking at is clay, though. And it's
clay.
And it stays suspended in and dissolved in the water for a long time. It doesn't really settle out that easily. And that's what I found out. I still haven't received the results back from that water test. I'm going to have to inquire on this because it was that water that Mark gave me from Happy Camp. That's where he took it, where these pictures were taken, apparently. It must be in that neighborhood. And, you could leave that soupy, chocolatey-looking water sit. And after about a week or two... You know, about a quarter of an inch of the clay would settle down to the bottom, but it was still chocolate brown in color. That stuff just sticks in there forever, it seems like.
Yeah, clay is unusual because, I mean, if you get it on your boots, you can't can't just hose it off. You have to use a scrub brush.
And
that's why it's not moving down the river. See, they, GE, Gethard Engineering Company, came down here in 2006. They looked at the sediment in the lakes, and then CDM Smith looked at it in early 2011, and they said you need to remove the sediment. It's not a good idea to send it down the river. That's exactly what Dr. Paul Hauser said, who is the science integrity officer for the Bureau of Reclamation and the Department of Interior.
And, of course, they canceled him because he came up with the wrong statement, right?
Well, yeah, he wasn't going along with the, you know, this crazy narrative. And here's the thing here. These people are faking it. They're lying to the public now. The river is dead. And here, and everywhere in Oregon and Washington are right now, I don't know if you knew this, Bill, but they're having record salmon returns. I couldn't believe it. I read the other day that in the Oregon Statesman that Willamette Falls, which is 170 miles up the Columbia River, you go up the Columbia River like 80 miles, and then you turn up Willamette River and you go up another, you know, 30 or 40 miles to Willamette Falls. They had a, and I mean a record. It was the record. They go all the way back to 1980. And it was five times the last largest run, five times larger.
Okay, now how can they be having a record salmon run because we're always told that these evil dams are stopping the salmon from coming back?
Well, think about it, Bill. Okay, here's the deal. Okay, everybody's trying to figure out all the reasons why the salmon are failing to take out dams. You know, it's this, that, it's the other thing, it's the sea lions. Is it? Okay, well, here we are. Here we are today. They just counted over 44,000 coho salmon. Those are the hard ones to get going, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coho over Willamette Falls. Well, and then they're seeing record salmon up and down the Oregon and Washington coast. If they hadn't ruined these dams, we would right now and be enjoying a record run of salmon. Right now, a record run that would have been running up the river.
Oh, but that record run wouldn't be coming up the Klamath River right now. Not in its current condition. No way. No way, Jose.
Well, that's right. Yeah, the point is we would be having, if it wasn't for what they've done to this river, killed it, we'd be having a record run, Bill. Mm. And on top of that, we're looking at the fish counts up here. You know, they have, you know, the little deals where they catch the fish and count them. There was two fish in Scott River. I mean, one fish in Bogus Creek. You know, that's where the fish hatchery is up below Iron Gate Dam, is at Bogus Creek. You know, you look at the data, I mean, this river is toast, and right at the mouth, of course, I've heard rumors there's thousands of fish at the mouth, but they won't come in, or when they do, they go into the gill nets, because the Native Americans know if they go very far up the river, they're going to end up belly up dead, and then the photographers are going to get pictures of thousands of dead fish.
So they got to catch them at the mouth. Okay, wow. Oh, so let me, before we take off here, though, and I appreciate you giving me the latest on this, the latest Chocolate River. We should rename the Klamath the Chocolate Clay River. I think that would be a more appropriate name.
Well, we've already named it. It's the River of Death.
Well, the River of Death, that might be too negative. Yeah. Too negative. You know, it's like you got to think about marketing. You know, what you have to market is the market, the chocolate candy river, so that the gangrenes can come up and they can all sit around there kind of like the fish version of Luke Ridiger saying, "Oh, look at the river. It's being restored. Look at all this clay. It's wonderful." Okay, in all
seriousness, they're already positioning, Bill, at this this celebration, this Sustainable Northwest salmon coming homecoming. They're already positioning it. They're saying that we still have years of habitat work ahead to restore the river.
Getting in on the restoration grift. That's what
right.
they mean when
and
they say that.
And they're. Yeah, and they're doing just what they did at Elwha when they were taking out the dams at Elwha, which was done much better, actually, because they let it go down slowly over 2 years and they kept sediment in place and they didn't have clay like we have. What they did there is they said, oh, yeah, in a couple of years there'll be so many salmon you can walk across their backs. Well, it's 12 years later, and now Sam Brinkman, the head fishery biologist up there at Washington, said, well, you know, 20 to 30 more years before the salmon are really restored here.
Yeah, when most of the people that were involved in the scam are dead. All right. Bill, before we take off here, since I was hoping you were going to give me a report on all the amazing fish coming back up the Chocolate Klamath, all right? But I guess that's not to be. What about keeping water with the wildlife and the horses and the cattle? I mean, what's being done for that right now? Because they can't drink the river.
Well, I had a meeting with the Ag Commissioner yesterday, and we talked about putting out an alert to the community because KRRC and RES are not doing anything. They're not doing. They're so far off plan, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, they were supposed to put fencing last summer to prevent the animals in the mud last winter. They didn't do that. Everything got dead. They just supposed to put alternative water last year. They didn't do that. Now what's happening? The animals are crossing the sediment beds to get to the river, and below the river they can't drink. So what we're talking about is trying to get the community to step up and put out watering troughs for wildlife. And
why should the community have to put out watering troughs to do the work that KRRC and Pacific Corp aren't doing?
Well, because apparently nobody's suing them yet. They need to be sued. They need to be criminally charged with going off of their EIS. They had a CEQA, NEPA-approved EIS plan. They've gone off the plan. We've had disastrous results. We've had needless, unnecessary loss of wildlife that exceeds the permission of their taking permit. They should be fined. This is criminal negligence. They're just wiping stuff out because they're not doing it the way they were supposed to do it. And you know, you look at the data, look at the real results of what's happening. So what's happening is, I mean, I guess it's on us citizens to do what they didn't do because these people are a bunch of screw ups. And so, our little organization, Wild Horse Fire Brigade, doesn't have a lot of money, but we've been buying water troughs, and they're not cheap. These big 150-gallon water troughs aren't cheap. And we've been trying to locate them where people put water in them.
Could we contribute a buck or two to that? Would that help you? You need that?
Yeah, it would help. We're trying to find people that have a spigot. They're willing to use their well water to fill these troughs. We put one down at KRCE the other day. In fact, the Bee Club had a picnic down there and saw the big water trough.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're trying to do is get troughs out there, get people to just put out. If you just even have a pail, put it out there so the deer can get a drink.
All right. What I'll do. What is your website then for Wild Horse Fire Brigade? Because we got to take care of these of the wildlife because KRRC is not doing it.
Yeah, it's just like it sounds. WildHorseFireBrigade.org.
Okay, and this is not a money-making aspect. This is just trying to keep the horses and the other wildlife going here for the time being until hopefully the fall rains. When the fall rains come, will it end up diluting the chocolate klamath at this point? Will that kind of improve it at this point when they get a lot of rain? What do you think?
Well, we're gonna have to have an awful lot of water. They're running, I haven't looked at the CFS lately, the cubic feet per second, but you know, in the middle of summer, it was about 700-800. I think they bumped it up to 1,000 because they know how bad it is. But it doesn't seem to be helping. It seems to be speeding up the erosion of the embedded pollutants. And I mean, this isn't just clay, Bill. We know from the CDM Smith study. I'm not saying this. This is what CDM Smith said, that there's all kinds of heavy metals and organic toxins in there that are forever bioaccumulative, meaning they don't go away. Even in low dose, they build up.
Which means even when KRRC throws seed out onto the clay, and then these grow into plants, and then the deer come and eat the plants, they're sucking in the toxins in the sediment, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's called bioamplification. A bug eats the toxin-filled plant, and then a bird eats that, and then he died, or a mouse eats it, and then a snake eats the mouse. He gets a super dose, and then the eagle grabs the snake, and then he dies.
Yeah.
It's called bioamplification. People should look that up, bioaccumulation and then bioamplification. But, you look at the Collier Rest Area, that's where they get their water for their drinking fountains, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And all those people were sucking that up. You know, I don't know what, you know, you might be able to tolerate a couple of drinks of it without, you know, getting sick, but over time, the people who live on the river, the wildlife on the river, I mean, what's going to happen to the game animals, the rabbits, the deer, the elk that eat these plants and drink the water over a long period of time and they build that stuff up?
Well, my serious people should be asking these questions right now. Hey, Bill, I really appreciate the take on it. And before we take off, what was that, Recovery Northwest? What's the name of that group? They're getting together and celebrating the return of the salmon, which aren't there yet.
Yeah, at Schulmer Road in Wairika this Saturday.
Okay, well, can I give you a few bucks and you can go buy some Costco salmon, because that's the only salmon coming out of that river. You could dip the bag of salmon fillets into the river, and you could say, here, right out of the Klamath, that's the only real salmon coming out of that river. All right. You ought to have fun with that one. You really ought to.
And I would ask people to take a look at Siskiyou.news, because this, you know, even this journalist, like I said, that came up from Berkeley, says, you know, nobody's getting to see the truth. He said, you guys are the only ones up here that are putting out the photographs of the actual river. Everything else is staged.
It's just astounding. Astounding, yet another amazing fraud being perpetrated here in Southern Oregon, Northern California.
I've been reaching out, and Bill, just so you know, I've been reaching out to Cliff Vance and
how about LaMalfa?
LaMalfa, the thing is the LaMalfa people apparently hate horses so much they won't talk to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I don't understand that. You know, I don't understand. Of course, he's a rice farmer. You know, he's down there raising rice, and he uses thousands of acre feet of water.
Oh, but so LaMalfa, because he hates horses, he's okay with the river being destroyed. Great, okay.
Yeah.
He's principled.
He's so far behind the power curve. It's ridiculous. He was the other day in an empty legislative hall showing pictures that we gave him 6 months ago. I mean, you know, it's like, come on, man, you got to be up on you got to be in front of this thing if you want to surf this wave. And you know, but the thing is he doesn't understand. You know, he's got advisors that don't understand wildfire or wildlife management. You know, you look at what's going on up here. It's a disaster, and then he's got a lot of excuses. Well, I'm overwhelmed. I've got all these.
Yeah, well, you know what overwhelmed, I think, means right now when I hear this from any politician? It means that the donor class doesn't find this issue interesting, okay? That's my opinion, and I'll just leave it at that. Bill, I appreciate the report there. I thought you were going to give me some good news. I was hoping for it, all right? But
I'd like it too, but, you know, it is what it is, and we have to be legitimate about it. We have to say, look, let's not repeat. I'm not trying to rain on anybody's parade. I'm just saying, look, we need to document the mistakes so they aren't done again. We can't keep cookie cuttering a failed program. We have to do, if we're going to do this, it needs to be done right. And you can't cover up what went wrong. You can't do it.
All right. Captain Bill Simpson, Wild Horse Fire Brigade. We got the information up there. And thanks for the report. And good luck on getting the water out to the wildlife and to the critters. Okay. You take care.
Yeah,
be well.
Thank you.
All right. Siskiyou.news is where you can read up on this, too. It's a fascinating deal. Dam removal for profit. Fast is cheap and cheap is fast. And Captain Bill wrote that one. William E. Simpson. It is 836 at KMED. 99.3 KBXG. Wow. You know, and here it is. I thought he was going to come on and just give me some great news. But I'll tell you what, I will have some great news for you coming up before 9 o'clock, Diner 62 Real American Quiz. You can go out there and get some amazing onion rings and a third-pound burger and so much more. Give me about 20 minutes. We'll hit up on that. This hour of the program is also sponsored in part by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery here in Southern Oregon with online pricing. Go to valleyviewnursery.com. And believe me, they are closer than you think. Great plantings there.
The big three-day meat sale is this Friday through Talk 106.3 KMED. You're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
It is 8:38. We appreciate you being here. So you said cowgirl Kathy, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you had a question for Bill. I'm sorry I didn't take calls. I didn't realize. I mean, I'm covered. I'm not sure if you're here for debates or something else. But what were you thinking?
Well, yesterday they started the roundup of the Twin Peaks HMA, which is the largest HMA, and it runs from approximately Susanville, California, over to Washoe County, which is like the Reno area.
What's an HMA? I'm sorry.
It's a horse. I'm sorry, Bill. My brain's not working.
Is it a horse? Does it mean horse management? Is that what that means? Horse management area?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's it. It's the horse management area, and it's the largest one. The Twin Peaks is the largest one in the United States, and they started rounding up horses in this heat yesterday, and they're going to take out over 900 wild horses out of that HMA.
Whoa. Whoa. Why are they doing that?
My opinion is they're trying to make the wild horses go extinct, and they've been doing this to all the HMAs, and they're going to run them in 100-degree heat over, and they're going to capture over 900.
Wow.
I don't see where they have a lot of a chance for the horses.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. Boy, yeah, let him know about that. Get in touch, wildhorsefirebrigade.org, I think is his website, okay? Thank you, Cowgirl. Let me go to next line. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. This is Francine.
Hi, Francine. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to make a couple of comments, you know, about like why people should have to be out there buying water troughs for the wildlife.
Yeah, for the wildlife, yeah.
Because they have no other source of water. And it's the same reason that people, that we have charities to help our veterans, because our government doesn't take care of the things it's supposed to. You know, the taxpayers always seem to end up having to pay more for the failings of the tax-funded government agencies.
Oh, paying twice for the same job. Got it.
Yeah, that's kind of what happens.
All right, it's kind of like, you know, you pay for the failing government school system and then have to then pay deep so that you can send your kid to private school in order to survive. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that makes sense. Thank you for that. Another quick point here, because I'm almost out of time. All right?
I have a real quick solution.
Good.
We need to bottle up the mud and sell it to the elites only as a sacred Klamath facial mask serum.
Oh, I love that idea. Have to come up with a good marketing term here. Let's see.
Yeah.
And since it is from the, you know, I once tried this a number of years ago when they were trying to do this with, remember they were spraying effluent in Ashland on the fields? Remember that?
God, yes.
And I was joking about then back then. It's just like, oh, well, it is effluent. All right. So what we can do here is have, this is sacred effluent from the sacred Klamath River, the Klamath Cocoa River. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and I bet you there's some greens that would go for this. Oh, it just makes my skin look so, it's so smooth and it takes away wrinkles. Get on that. I think you have a great, you got lots of raw material that you can use out there, Francine. Let me go to line three. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is John. I caught something on the news just a few days ago.
Yes.
And I don't know if it was, I don't want to badmouth him more than I have to. It might have been Wyden.
Uh-huh.
But it gave some announcement that there was, he had introduced or was receiving a goodly amount of money for restoration, and he mentioned Klamath.
Oh, really?
you'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I will. I will look that up. Well, I'm sure. Ron is also home of the thinking of packing the Supreme Court, so I'm sure it must be a sound restoration plan. What say you? Appreciate the call. I'm going to look that up. I may have missed that release. Let me grab another one here. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Bill?
Yeah, Brad. Go ahead.
Bill, Brad here. Good morning. So, two, fish and oxygen, and the second thing, Randy Collier, first thing. So, the reason what Captain Bill is talking about is so important, people remember, those of us that went to Oregon Public School know that fish actually breathe. There is oxygen that gets dissolved into the water, and what clay does is, clay does two things. It reduces the amount of oxygen that can be dissolved in the water, so it lowers the oxygen content carrying capacity of the water, number one. And number two, the clay plugs up the gills, which makes it harder for the fish to extract the oxygen from the water, and fish actually breathe. They breathe through their gills, and when the clay plugs their gills up, they die. They literally asphyxiate in the water because they can't breathe. This is what's going on by the thousands.
So you will agree with me that the only salmon coming out of the Klamath River will be salmon that they buy at Costco, and they dip the bag into the river and bring it out.
It's just unbelievably sad. Second thing, you mentioned that the Collier Rest Area. So Collier Rest Area, named after Randy Collier. Randy Collier, born 1902, born in Aetna, spent most of his life in Wairika, his hometown. Why do we care about Randy Collier? Randy Collier is the reason that I-5 runs through Wairika and then over the top of Mount Ashland, where trucks burn their brakes and grind gears all the way into Oregon instead of going through Weed and then Klamath Falls, which is the way all the engineers. Randy Collier is.
I did not know that's the reason for that route. Okay.
Randy Collier, as the chair of the California Traffic Commission, knew that if Interstate 5 did not go through his hometown, I mean, Wairika is basically his hometown. He knew that if the I-5 did not go through his hometown, his hometown would die. So he moved heaven and earth to make sure that I-5 went through Yreka. And you ever wonder why Yreka, a town with only 15,000 people in it, has three exits off I-5?
Yeah. Gosh, you know.
Randy Collier.
Well, and you would think that even Medford, given its population, would have more than three, wouldn't you?
Yeah. So I-5 was never supposed to go through Yreka, never supposed to go through Medford. It was going to follow the railroads because the railroads follow the path of least resistance. It would have turned off at Weed, would have gone over Deer Mountain, Mount Hebron, up through Klamath Falls, and up the way all the railroads went. But because of Randy Collier, I-5 got routed over Mount Ashland. So every year, all the people that have all this trouble, they're asking themselves, what in the world were they thinking when they went and when they routed I-5 over Mount Ashland? That's why.
Okay, all right, got the message there. Hey, got a roll.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it is crazy indeed. Thank you for the update there. That's an interesting bit of history. It's 8:45.
Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, 770-KMED.
Price of gold this morning. Oh, it has dipped down 0.5%. Hey, a bargain. $2,650. Yeah, that's where it is right now, between war and the central banks buying it and everybody knowing that neither the Trump administration nor the Harris administration will be able to trim the sales of the budget. That is the reality. So much of the challenges to the U.S. dollar are baked in the cake right now. That's where physical gold and silver is in there. And it's not about replacing water and food preparations and things like that. This is about having something to be able to pass down wealth in potential hard times. And Jay Austin can help you with that. And you can call them at 482-3715. Great people. One of my longest-term sponsors ever. And I get physical gold and silver from them. In fact, I need to top up. No matter how much you're stacking, it never feels like enough right now when you look at what's going on in the financial world, along with my baby 401k and various others. But talk to your financial advisor and then get in touch with the recognized experts on the gold and silver and platinum and other precious items. Jay Austin, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. And their online web portal, wonderful place that you can buy and sell there too. I think you just buy there. FortuneReserve.com. FortuneReserve.com. Not like the Federal Reserve, which deteriorates your money. Fortune Reserve helps you build it. Okay? FortuneReserve.com. Okay. Bit of open phones, post-debate Wednesday. Let's see if we can grab some folks and see what's on your mind. If we have some good thinking or, I don't know, let's just do it. Hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, Bill. It's Lauren at Eagle Point.
Lauren, what's on your mind today, huh?
Well, basically, you sparked it when you're talking to Bill. I was down visiting my sister and brother in Chico and in Red Bluff and then in Yuba City, and I passed by these signs on the road saying LAMAFIA.
Oh, LaMalfa, yeah. Yeah, Doug LaMalfa.
And I said to myself, man, they're really coming out here. They're willing to admit that the mafia is taking over. I was going to take a picture of the sign and send it to you, but anyway, that's the truth.
That is so funny. Now, actually, Doug, from all accounts, does a pretty good job of being a congressman for the area. But I think that everyone was really asleep at the switch on the Klamath, for sure. We've been talking about it for years, for sure.
Sure.
All right.
And anyway, had to share that with you.
All right. Now, have by the way, day. Now, yes, when was the last time you won Diner 62?
Just curious. I got to wait another month and a half.
I thought you won recently, but we are going to take calls for that coming up in a couple of minutes, folks. 770-5633. Lauren is honest, and he's keeping himself out because we have a 60-day winner's limit on that, okay? But if you haven't won in the last 60 days, you can win it here coming up. 770-5633. Let me go to line two. Hi, good morning.
It's Joel.
Hi, Joel.
Joel at the Klamath River.
Hello, Joel.
Yeah. Well, I've been taking care of the horses for the last 20 years with water being put out there. And I've got a suggestion is at Bi-Mart, at the end of summer sale, we can get those big plastic kiddie pools and we put like a concrete foundation block in the middle. So when after they slurped it all up in the wind picks up, they just take the little pool for a ride down the
street. Yeah, so kiddie pools then for the livestock. Well, I guess that could work.
They can be had for like $25, and they hold at least a couple hundred gallons of water. And,
good. That's a good suggestion.
Yeah, I've been trying to get in a GoFundMe thing, but it's hard for me to get any assistance on the technical level right here.
All right. Yeah, that, Yeah, well, GoFundMe is not that hard. Have you not tried? Well, of course, I don't like GoFundMe as much as GiveSendGo or some other ones, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, and then also if anyone's got, because I would have got like three metal tubs, and because they got, if they haven't taken them away, you know, like they remodeled their bathroom or something, but the sheet metal bathtubs that are, you know, porcelain coated.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, you got that. Hey, thank you, Joel. Good luck on that one. I don't have a solution for it, but maybe if someone can help you. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hey, Bill, this is Rembrandt calling from my bunker in communist utopia of Ashland.
Oh, welcome. It's always good to go, you know, beyond the lines there and see what's going on. Let's hear you.
Yeah. I would like, my wife and I went down there 2 weeks ago, and it is beyond belief to see what's happened to the Iron Gate.
Really?
It's sickening. The smell, the color of the river, and the fact that there's no water where there used to be a beautiful lake for recreation and fire control and all. It's disgusting. So just wanted to call and encourage everybody that can go down and take a look at it to do it.
All right. Appreciate the call, Rembrandt. All righty.
You bet.
I like the nickname, too. 770-563-3770-KMED. Let's do the Diner 62 quiz. Let's do that now. We have three people lined up. I hope there are people that are calling for Diner 62, because otherwise it's going to be a short contest. But the Diner 62, all your hearty breakfast favorites, omelets, skillets, waffles. Well, I suppose if anybody could make a wallet taste good, I'm sure, you know, Randy over at Diner 62 could make that work. But still, biscuits and gravy, chicken fried steak, cinnamon roll French toast. Oh, my goodness. You name it, they make it. And clam chowder on every Friday. So good, you'll hear the surf and seagulls. Avocado available on the burgers. There's so much there. Lunch and breakfast. And let's just make this happen, okay? So today was the first shots of the Texas Revolution. Let me go to line four. I think line four is first up there. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello? Might help if I push the button. Let me go to line four again. Hi there. Who's this?
Tom.
It was October 2nd, 1835. Tensions between Mexico and Texas erupt into violence, sparking the Texan War for Independence. Texas, or Tejas, as the Mexicans called it, had been part of the Spanish Empire since the 17th century. However, even as late as the 1820s, there were only about 3,000 Spanish-Mexican settlers in Texas, and Mexico City hold on the territory was tenuous at best, all right? Now, during the next decade or so, after the early 1800s, men like Stephen Austin brought more than 25,000 people to Texas, most of them Americans. Most of these immigrants legally became Mexican citizens. They continued to speak English, they formed their own schools, and they had closer trading ties to the United States than to Mexico. So what started this Battle of Gonzales, which was really the first shot of the Texas Revolution? Was it the requisition of horses, B, the burning of a cornfield, C, the confiscation of a cannon, D, the replacement of the mayor and sheriff, or E, the death of a child? What sparked the Texas Revolution?
The death of a child.
The death of a child. Yeah, you think so? Not this time. Thank you, Tom. Let me go to the next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello?
It's Jack.
Hello, Jack. It's not the death of a child, requisition of horses, burning of a cornfield, confiscating a cannon, or the replacement of the mayor and sheriff. What sparked the Mexican or the Texas Revolution?
They took some horses.
They took some horses. Horses, yeah, big deal, right? Not this time. Sorry. Let me go to the next one. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is Krishna.
Hi, Krishna. So we got horses. No, it's the burning of a cornfield, confiscating a cannon, or replacing the mayor and sheriff. What was it?
Confiscating the cannon.
Confiscating the cannon. Was it about the right to keep and bear arms and protect? Yeah.
You're a winner!
The president of Mexico overthrew the Constitution, appointed himself dictator, and recognizing that the American Texans were likely to use his rise to power as an excuse to secede, Santa Ana ordered the army to start disarming the Texans, and so it was a little tougher than they thought. Mexican soldiers tried to take a cannon from the village of Gonzales, and they got stiff resistance. The Texans didn't like having their cannon taken, and so they grabbed him. And by the way, the Texans kept their cannon. and kept the battle going, too, after that. So there you go, Krishna. You're going to Diner 62. Happy days. 8:57. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Cherise from...
.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
So lowrider now for the iBlub member medicine, huh? Can't wait till... Well, you know, James Brown is already gone, so... It's James Brown for the pens! Hit me! Every morning I wake up at 7:30 to go to the bathroom, but I don't get out of bed till 8. Oh, well. It's 9 o'clock, KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, and KBXG Grants Pass. Matt's here. Hello, Matt. How are you doing?
Hey, Bill. Reflecting back, my favorite part of that debate last night is when the topic of experts came up.
Oh, yes.
And J.D. Vance blasted that by talking about the same experts who kept kids out of school, had kids wearing masks, all those things. That was early on, and so I didn't hear anyone talking about it on the news when everybody was reflecting on the results of the debate. But I have to say, I love the fact that he jumped right in there on that.
Agreed. And also, he could have used this for so many things. I was a little – one of my few disappointments that were not picked up here, one of them having to do with, hey, he was rightly roasting experts, but then we're supposed to be – you know, going down with scientific consensus of this scam, this fraud, this grift, this major power grab and grift of the climate change, of the climate change agenda, everything that is involved with it, because the rule is that the regular little people aren't supposed to live well. They're supposed to raise their taxes, send more money so that the grifters get paid, kind of like Big Pharma on the COVID world, too. And he could have used the same argument, I think, for the climate change agreement.
He could have. He did walk down the road with a left on that. And that was disappointing. But, you know, somebody made a comment last night. They said that, I would have liked to see him be more of an attack dog. You know, the fact is Trump's the attack dog.
Yes.
I don't think J.D. has the same job on the debate stage. I think what he needed to do was soften Trump and then be specific. You know, just get down to the details.
Because everything about Trump is speaking in generalities. He's not what I would call a policy wonk, and J.D. is pure policy wonk. But he's a very different kind of policy wonk, and I have to say, and I say this admirably, okay, or admiringly, because he was very Clinton-esque, like Bill Clinton. Say what you will about Bill Clinton. I disagreed with his policies. But he was really good at being a policy wonk and explaining to the people how something worked. And I detected, I mean, it's not like Clinton. He's better than Clinton. I think he's even more likable than Bill Clinton. But he was able to get the policies out there with a matter, with charm. I think with some charm and humanity. I think J.D. was very good at that. Okay?
I think those are two good words to describe him, the way he was last night. And I believe that's who he is. I don't think we saw somebody up there who's different behind the scenes.
No, and I would agree with you on that. Hey, Matt, we'll talk more about this on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. The email, bill@billmeyershow.com. Send me your thoughts on the debate and more, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. A lot going on then.
We're thrilled to announce we're back with our Veterans Metal Roof Giveaway. After the joy of giving away our first roof,